This podcast is brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. Thanks for listening.
We'll now move into a time of scripture reading. I'll invite Sister Suyi up to give us today's passage. Today's passage is on 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 to 34. And after that, Pastor Nick will come up to give us today's sermon.
Okay. Good morning, church. Happy Good Friday. Today's passage will be taken from 1 Corinthians 11, 17 to 34. And the page number on the church Bible is 1152. Yep. 1 Corinthians 11, 17 to 34. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat, for when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. For I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and ill, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further instructions. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Ashley, for leading the service for us today. And thank you, Suyi, for reading God's word. Good morning, everyone. If you haven't met, my name is Nicholas, and it's really great to look at God's Word together on this Good Friday. And welcome if you are new with us this morning. So Good Friday is the day that Jesus died on the cross. And one of the things we do to remember, to celebrate Good Friday, is that we look at the Bible, to reflect on what the Bible says about what Jesus' death means and what it means for us today. So I'm going to lead us to pray, and I'll ask for God's help to understand His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please open our hearts to Your Word, and may we understand what You're speaking to us today. In Jesus' name, Amen. One time I was on a date with my wife, and we decided to go to eat at this Korean place. We decided to eat at this Korean place. My wife... she ordered cold noodles because it's a hot dish. She ordered cold noodles. I didn't mind noodles. So I wanted to order something different. So I ordered black bean noodles or jajangmyeon. Okay. However that's pronounced. So after we ordered, after I ordered, my wife turned to me. She said, "Do you know that jajangmyeon is for those who are single?" Now, so I learned that day to not eat black bean noodles with my wife. Now, for the food we eat, has deeper meanings. Just think about, like, chocolates. If you want to give chocolates to a date, my marketing lecturer always reminded us in class, if you want to give chocolates to a date, go for Royce. Never go for... M&M's. Never go for M&M's. Yeah. So, the meals, food, has special significance for us. At Christians... we have a special meal. We call this special meal the Lord's Supper. This is where we eat a bread or wafer, and we drink a cup of juice or wine. So if you have visited churches before, you might have seen Christians doing that. But this special meal reminds us about the first Good Friday, when Jesus died on the cross for us. At our church, at BTPC, our practice is to celebrate the Lord's Supper every first Sunday of the month. So for us, it's like celebrating Good Friday every month. So today we'll look at what God's Word says about the Lord's Supper. And as we think about that, we'll see how to eat it right. So in that part, we'll be reflecting on what the Bible says about the Lord's Supper. And after that, we'll think about what to believe about Jesus. So believe right, what the Bible tells us to believe about Jesus. And because of that, we'll think about what it means to live right. How to live out what we see in God's Word. So first, eating right. I'll be looking at verse 23 to 25 first. Let's look at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. So Paul is writing this letter to the people of Corinth, we call them the Corinthian Christians. And Paul received this practice of the Lord's Supper from Jesus. So for the Lord's Supper, there are two elements, we call it, two pieces of food. There's the bread and there's the wine. So first on the bread, verse 23 again. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So the bread represents Jesus' body. And the broken bread represents Jesus' body that was broken on the cross. Right? Jesus hung on the cross, bleeding and struggling to breathe for 6 hours. So Jesus' death has meaning for the Corinthians in those days and for us today. Because Jesus wants us to remember Jesus' death as we take the supper. So the bread reminds us that Jesus died. And eating the bread reminds us that we need Jesus. We need Jesus to die for us. Jesus dying for us means two things. It means Jesus dies in our place. It means Jesus dies for our benefit. So eating the bread reminds us that Jesus died in our place. So we don't have to die for our sin. And Jesus died for our benefit. Means that his death gives me life. And because Jesus died, this tells us that we all have a sin problem. We are all guilty of sin, of rebellion against God. But Nick, you might ask, I'm no sinner. I'm better than this person and that person. I'm even better than the mafia, if you want to put it that way. Well, in 2007, yes, the police arrested a mafia boss. This is in Italy. And as they arrested him, they searched his place, and they found that in his place, there's a list. This list is called the Mafia's Ten Commandments. Okay, and this Mafia's Ten Commandments, this is what they must all sign to be part of this mafia family. So, number one, no one can present himself directly to another of our friends. There must be a third person to do it. Number two, never look at the wife of friends. And number 10, people can't be part of a Cosa Nostra. Yes, anyone who has a close relative in the police, anyone who has a two-timing relative in the family, anyone who behaves badly and doesn't hold to moral values. Okay, so this is the mafia. So they traffic drugs, extort money, they loan shark, they even murder. But as long as they don't look at their friend's wife, they're okay. As long as they have some moral values, they're okay. That's what they think. And friends, we are like that too. You see, like the mafia, we have lots of reasons why we think we are better than someone else. The mafia has like 10 reasons here. But for all of us, I'm sure we have hurt someone before. We have said things, we have done things, or we have not done things, we have not said things, that's caused hurt to other people. And when we do that, you see, our inner lawyer always defends us for all the times we have hurt others. Our inner lawyer will say, it's the other person's fault, or it's that family's fault, the school's fault, society's fault. Never my fault. I'm sorry. So we are all guilty before God. We all deserve God's condemnation. And God gives us a way out. God lovingly provides us a way out. The bread reminds us that Jesus died in our place so that we can have life with God. So that's the blood. That's the bread. On the blood, this cup reminds us also of Jesus' death, but focuses on a slightly different aspect. And look at verse 25 with me. Verse 25. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." So this cup represents Jesus' blood. So the Jesus' blood is a picture of Jesus', is a metaphor for Jesus' violent death on the cross. But the way that Paul explains it here is that the focus is on the new covenant. Jesus' death begins the new covenant. Now, what does that mean? What does a new covenant mean? For there to be a new covenant, there must have been an old covenant. Covenants are like contracts between two people. They are this unbreakable promise, unbreakable agreement. And God has always related to his people in covenants, in agreements, in promises. And the old covenant, God's people promised to obey his law, and God promised to bless them if they obeyed him. But what happened in the old covenant is that the people couldn't obey the old covenant. They were not good enough. So God judges them. So for you and I, when we reflect on the old covenant, we see that God used that old covenant to show that humanity is not good enough. We all deserve God's judgment. So in the new covenant, things are different. In the new covenant, God's people don't need to be good enough to be saved. I've said this for the children's ministry. Not good enough is good enough. And not good enough is good enough in the new covenant because God forgives us of our sins and God begins to work in us to obey him. So the cup reminds us that it is Jesus' death that on the cross that begins this new covenant. And we can be forgiven for our sins, all the sins we've done in the past, the present, and the future. And because of the new covenant, because this new covenant has started, and this new covenant is effective, this means that the old covenant is obsolete. It cannot save. It cannot help us follow God. It cannot help us be pleasing to God. In the new covenant, God promises to forgive us of our sins. And when we drink the cup, it's an added step. It's an added reminder. When we drink the cup, we remember that God's forgiveness is for us. Because Jesus died, God does forgive, and this forgiveness is for us, so that I can be right, so you can be right, on the right standing with God. And you get access to this right standing with God by believing in Jesus, by relying on him to save you. Now, we'll talk about this a little bit more later. But we see here that the Lord's Supper has no special power in the bread, in the wine. The bread and wine don't transform into Jesus' actual body and blood. But the power of the bread, the power of this sacrament isn't in the sacrament itself. It's in Jesus. It's in the cross. It's in reflecting on what Jesus has done for us. And that's where we get the spiritual benefit from the Lord's Supper. And as we take the Lord's Supper, in verse 26, it says where we are proclaiming Jesus' death. Verse 26, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until it comes." The Lord's Supper is like this acted out sermon to tell everyone about the Lord Jesus' death. And Christians are to keep preaching about Jesus' death until he comes back. Now, 3 days after Jesus died, on the first Good Friday, he rose up on the first Easter Sunday. And after that, he appeared to several times to his people for another 40 days. And then he ascended to heaven. And verse 26 tells us that Jesus, our Lord Jesus, is coming back. He is returning. When he returns, he will condemn all the wicked. Verse 32, you see later, he will condemn the world. And for those of us who trust in Jesus, we will be with Jesus forever. So we, all people will either be condemned or be with Jesus forever. For both the living and the dead, there's no third option, there's no other way of escape. And that's why we want everyone to believe in Jesus, where we proclaim, we keep proclaiming Jesus' death until he returns, so that no one, so we want no one to be at that final condemnation. That is eating the Lord's Supper. Eating the Lord's Supper preaches Lord's death. Now, as I said, this is a part of the letter that Paul is talking to the Corinthians. And Paul has to talk about this issue of the Lord's Supper because the Corinthians don't get it. The Corinthians, they are eating the supper wrongly. They are denying the Lord's death. So first we see that they cause divisions. Verse 17, in the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. There's more spiritual harm than good in eating the Lord's Supper for the Corinthians. They're better off not eating the Lord's Supper. Why? Because in verse 18, there are divisions among them about how they eat the Lord's Supper. Okay, how these divisions show itself? It's in verse 20 to 22. So in verse 20 to 22, what they're doing is that they are transforming the Lord's Supper into their own supper. In verse 21, some of them were eating the Lord's Supper first. They're going ahead of other people to eat the Lord's Supper. And they eat so much of the Lord's Supper that the people come later, they have no Lord's Supper to eat. But those who eat first, they are overeating and they're getting drunk. That's what supper is generally today. You see, if you are hungry at night, maybe you ransack your kitchen for chips or for Maggi Mee to eat. Or maybe you go downstairs to buy prata or you order something on Grab. The point is, if you want supper, you want to fill your stomach. That's what you do for. That's what supper is for. Fill your stomach. So in our passage, when the rich Corinthians are filling their stomachs with the Lord's Supper, they're actually treating the Lord's Supper as their own supper. And when they do that, it's a serious thing. You see, in verse 22, the second question there is, or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? So these rich Christians, they are humiliating those who are poor, those who have nothing. So when a poor Christian come for the Lord's Supper, and they come later than everyone else, they have no supper. And this despises the church of God. When it says church of God, this means that the rich, they're not just despising the church, they are despising God. It's like if you don't like a country, take a country's flag and you burn it, you're not just despising the cloth, you're despising the country represented by that flag. That's what the rich were doing. The rich were causing divisions when they eat the supper by themselves. They exclude the poor. But what they're doing is they're telling the poor, Jesus didn't die for you, so you cannot have the supper. It's as if the poor, they cannot have their sins taken away by Christ's death. As if they cannot have forgiveness in the new covenant. And to be saved, the rich are telling the poor, yes, you must have Jesus, plus you must be rich. Now, I think this is really relevant for us today because you and I, we can have more rules on top of what Jesus said in the New Covenant. To be a Christian, the Bible says that we believe in Jesus. Jesus' death to save us. We don't need to add, believe in Jesus plus keep the law, believe in Jesus plus be rich or have a certain social class. No, you're saved by believing in Jesus. So when we take the Lord's Supper, we must take it together. All Christians, anyone who believes in Jesus, can eat the Lord's Supper with us. No Christian should be excluded. And for the Corinthians, where they are eating the supper wrongly, so when they deny the poor the Lord's Supper, they are actually denying the Lord's death. So it's a very serious thing. So instead of doing that, Paul tells them to eat a supper that's worthy of the Lord's death. Verse 27. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. So Paul warns them about taking the supper in an unworthy way. So this unworthy way is talking about how the rich withhold the supper from the poor. Because this tells the poor that Christ didn't die for them. So instead of that, Paul warns them in verse 28 to examine themselves, to check themselves before taking the supper, to check if they are excluding anyone from the Lord's Supper, to check if they are excluding anyone from coming to Jesus. Because if they do exclude a Christian from coming to Jesus, from taking the Lord's Supper, then in verse 29, there can be severe discipline. So verse 29 says there's severe judgment. In verse 30, some have fallen sick. Some have either fallen asleep, meaning some have died. Some Christians have died. But we see in the passage that the goal of this severe discipline is for the Christian's good. So in verse 32, this is a discipline that the Lord Jesus carries out for Christians so that they will not be condemned with the world. So maybe this is how it might look like. So for those who fall sick, maybe they can repent from their ways. For those who are in sin, for the Christians who are sinning in this way, they see the Christians who have died and they realize, okay, this is serious, I must repent now. And for those Christians who have died, who have fallen asleep, Jesus is preventing them from continuing in their sin, in their rebellion against him. Now, Paul can say this to the Corinthians, that you are falling sick, you're dying because of this sin. Paul can say that because Paul is God, is Jesus' apostle or Jesus' messenger. So he has special knowledge that some have fallen sick, some have died because they excluded the poor. Now, you and I don't have that kind of special insight. So I cannot say to anyone here, you have this sickness, you have this runny nose because you have taken the Lord's Supper wrongly. No, I can't say that. But because this is how Jesus can act, so you and I need to bear this warning in mind. Jesus does act to discipline his people. So we must never exclude Christians who genuinely believe from joining us, from taking the Lord's Supper with us. Instead, we should eat the Lord's Supper in a worthy way. Verse 33. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. When I come, I will give further instructions. Christians must eat the Lord's Supper together, because we proclaim to everyone that Christ has died for all types of people, all kinds of people. Regardless of age, social class, or education, Christ died for all kinds of people. No one should be excluded from the supper, so we eat the supper together. Now, this reminds me of this lady that my wife and I met a few weeks back at a playground. So she told, because we got talking about religion, so she told us that, yeah, she's a Christian, but she's happy not to be at church. She's a Christian, but she's a Christian. She just stays at home on Sundays. She doesn't go to church. Now, if she stays at home, she doesn't show herself to be part of the church. She doesn't take the Lord's Supper together with the church. And you cannot take the Lord's Supper by yourself at home. Because when you do that, you're saying that Jesus died for me alone. Not with all kinds of Christians. Not for all kinds of Christians. Yeah, so we should not try to be a Christian on ourselves without other Christians. We should come together, meet together, be with other Christians, and take the Lord's Supper together. So Christians must eat the Lord's Supper together. Now this is like some of the meals that we have, like the reunion dinners. So at a reunion dinner, there's always yusheng, there's always steamboat, and for my family, there's always fish balls. Now we don't call this meal the yusheng dinner, or the steamboat dinner, or the fishball dinner. We always call this meal the reunion dinner. Now, reunion dinner means that the family must be reunited to eat. We cannot start the dinner at 5 p.m. and we tell this cousin that we don't really like, they come at 8 p.m. eat the leftovers. No, if we do that, we're telling this cousin, you are not part of our family. Now, reunion dinner means we eat together. In the same way, the Lord's Supper, in the Lord's Supper, we must eat together because everyone who believes in Jesus is part of God's family. No one who believes in Jesus should be excluded from the Lord's Supper. So we eat the Lord's Supper with all Christians, with to proclaim that Christ has died for all who believe. So that is how to eat the Lord's Supper right. Eating the Lord's Supper preaches the Lord's death. Eating the Lord's Supper wrongly denies the Lord's death. So we want to eat the supper worthy of the Lord's death. So what does this passage teach us about Jesus? What is it we need to believe about Jesus from the passage? Now, this passage on the Lord's Supper tells us to think about Jesus in three perspectives. The Lord's Supper tells us to look back, look forward, and to look at the present. So look back, we reflect on how Jesus has died for sinners in our place, for our life, for our forgiveness. So the Lord's Supper reminds us that Jesus came in history. He lived and he died for us, to give us life. What this means for us is for those of us who believe in Jesus, we belong to him, so we live for him. The Lord's Supper also asks us to look forward. Jesus tells us to keep proclaiming his death through the supper until it comes. So the Lord's Supper reminds us that Jesus is coming back soon, and when he returns, the world will be condemned by God. But those who believe in Jesus won't be condemned with the world. They will be saved from condemnation. So we must be ready for Jesus' return. We must keep believing that Jesus is coming back soon. And if we continue to reject Jesus, then we will face condemnation. And third, we look at the present. The Lord's Supper reminds us to look at the present, look at the now. Because the Lord Jesus is ruling over the world now. And he's disciplining his people for our godliness. So we live for him, not tomorrow, but we live for him now. So this is what we need to believe right about Jesus. We look back, we look forward, and we look at the present. So what does this mean for us, for the way that we live? The Lord's Supper proclaims the Lord's death for all believers. So for believers, this means that for us Christians, we must eat the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. So we include all Christians to eat the Lord's Supper together because Christ saved all kinds of people. Eating the Lord's Supper this way preaches to everyone that anyone who believes in Jesus can benefit, can have the full benefits of what Jesus' death gives them. And we should feel a range of emotions as we reflect on the Lord's Supper, as we reflect on the cross through the Lord's Supper. So first, as godly grief for our sin that deserves God's judgment. And next, joyful thanksgiving for Jesus who died for us, even though we don't deserve it. And through that death, we have life. We have forgiveness. And because of that, renewed steadfastness to submit to him in all our lives. And lastly, a greater zeal for proclaiming the gospel that saves us. To proclaim the gospel to the world about how they can be saved. And Jesus knows that we need these reminders regularly. So that's why he tells us in verse 23, that this is something that Jesus gave to Paul, gave the Corinthians, to give to everyone. We need these reminders to regularly remember how Jesus died for our sin, so that we can be more fervent in following him. Now I need to clarify that I said, everyone who believes should take the supper, but not everyone should take the supper. Those who shouldn't take the supper are those who do not believe in Jesus, those who don't call themselves Christian, because they have not trusted in Jesus' death for life and forgiveness. So Jesus' body and blood was not given for them. But they can take it when they believe in Jesus. Okay, so that's for Christians. For those of us who don't believe, for those that don't believe in Jesus is your God, I'm glad that you are here with us to hear something more about Jesus and his death. That Jesus died to give you eternal life and to secure forgiveness, God's forgiveness for you. Some of us might not be ready to make to make the rational step to believe in Jesus. Now that's right, because we don't want you to have blind faith in Jesus. It's far better to have rational faith in Jesus. Christianity is a rational faith, and we want that for you. And we have different opportunities for you to explore who Jesus is. So I'll summarize this as read, ask, and see. So read, you can take home any of the blue Bibles you see on the chairs for you to see who Jesus is. Look at Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel is a biography of Jesus. So read for yourself who Jesus is. So another thing to read is at the tables, at the entrances, we have lots of books on different topics about Jesus, about Christianity. Now pick up some of those books to read for yourself. These are free for you. Read for yourself who Jesus is. And next, ask. After our meeting, you can look for me at this at the left side of the hall. I'll be here. You can ask me any questions about Jesus and about Christianity. You can also, another opportunity to ask is on Easter Sunday, so a few days' time. We'll be meeting here at 9:30 and 11:30, and you can come back again to ask me or ask Pastor Andrew any questions about Jesus, about Christianity. And third, we'll be running a Hope Explored course from the 7th April. And this is another opportunity for you to ask any questions as you explore who Jesus is. And third, see. As I said earlier, our church celebrate the Lord's Supper on the first week of every month. So that means we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper on 7th April. You can come back on 7th April and see how we celebrate Good Friday every month. And remember Jesus' death for us each month. So we do hope that you give Christianity some serious thought, because it is a rational faith. Now some might continue with this irrational unbelief and continue rejecting our Lord Jesus and miss out on life and forgiveness, only to be condemned with the world when Jesus returns. But for some of us, you might be ready to believe. Maybe you have been considering Jesus for some time. Today, you're ready to make that rational step to believe in Jesus. And we praise God for that. If that's you, please come to speak with me, or please speak with the person who brought you to see what the next steps are for you to grow as a Christian. So the Lord's Supper proclaims the Lord's death for all believers until Jesus returns. That's why we eat right, believe right, and live right. Friends, will you be consumed by God's judgment? Or will you feast on life and forgiveness that Jesus brings at the cross? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the cross. Help those of us who believe to love Jesus more for the cross. Help those of us who are yet to believe to read the right books and ask the right questions about Jesus. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Nick, for showing us from today's passage in the Bible God's promise, how there are two ways to live, how we eat right, believe right, and live right, and how it's only with Jesus, who suffered on the cross for us, that can atone this judgment that was meant for all of us. Let's rise as we sing our last song for today, Grace Awaits Me, and we see how God's invitation of grace is shown to us.
Suffered in my place, There is grace awaiting me, awaiting me. Judgment's done, atonement's made, the ransom's paid, no guilt remains. There is grace awaiting me, awaiting me. Grace, a welcome from the Father. Grace, forgiveness full and free. That's greater than our failings. Oh, there is grace awaiting me. I take comfort in the hope of the thief upon the cross. For I am worthy as little love as he. Like this man, I won't despair. But life's ahead, what joy we'll share. Now there is grace awaiting me, awaiting me. There is grace awaiting me, awaiting me. All who call upon the Lord will rise to life with peace assured. For there is grace awaiting me, awaiting me. Grace, a welcome from the Father. Grace, forgiveness full and free. Grace that's greater than our failings. Oh, there is grace awaiting me. Oh, there is grace awaiting me.
Please be seated. We'll now move into a time of announcements. We have a few announcements today. The first is, if you're new, never been here, or you've been here a few times, but you don't really know us, this is an opportunity for us to get to know you. And how we can do that is by scanning the QR code, help us fill in a form, and we'll love to get in touch with you. As Pastor Nick has earlier mentioned, we do have resources here available today. And I'd like to recommend this really simple book. If you're new here today at church, It's actually called 12 Things You Probably Don't Know About Easter. It's a simple book, but it shows us who Jesus was. He was here 2,000 years ago. And in the book, it talks about how Easter is literally to die for. Now, I think that's a very heavy catchphrase, to die for. And that's why I'd like to encourage you, if you'd like to find out more, to pick up this book. It's an easy book. I sat down about 15 minutes, was able to go through it, and find out a little bit more about what it means for Easter Sunday. So we hope that you can go off with that picture in mind. The book's available at the table on your way out, and so do pick up a copy. Next, as Pastor Nick has mentioned also, we have Hope Explored. It's an opportunity for you who have not known who God is or who Jesus is. This is a time that we can share more as we dig into God's Word. It's happening on the 17th and 14th of April. It's at 1 p.m., but don't worry, lunch is provided for this event. Let us now invite Pastor Nick up to give us a benediction as we end today's service.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for speaking to us today, and may your word be the fuel for our living this week. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. Amen. Thank you, friends, for joining us. So you can join us for lunch after this, and also if you have any questions, I'll be in this right left side of the hall. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. For more information, visit us online at busypc.sg.